pulse of the city. The beat of business. Recreation. Civic projects. The heartbeat of your community is the news beat of radio. Listen to local news. Split-second continuous coverage on Radio, the Sound Citizen.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad treats, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, what you gonna do? Or what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? You chuck it on that one, you chuck it on this one, you chuck it on your mother and you chuck it on your father, you chuck it on your brother and you chuck it on your sister, you chuck it on that one and you chuck it on me. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Nobody now give you no break. Police now give you no break. That old soldier man now give you no break. Not even your idol now give you no breaks. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
To buy some Minster cheese, when suddenly I get kidnapped by a bunch of Chinese. They blindfold me and tie me at the ankles, wrists, and knees. And then this abandoned powerhouse, and Professor Sedgwick, and more Chinese. Then I guess I was drugged, and now I wake up with a headache. And I almost forgot, Max Mencken's here. He's in this too, the louse. So adding it all up, it's perfectly clear. Prisoner in a Chinese powerhouse.
Well, sure enough, Cosmic Cowboy here. Cosmic and all. Welcome to the inaugural show of WFMU's RNC alternate stream. If you're listening, then you know. But feel free to tell your friends that they can go to WFMU.org/RNC and get the schedule of what we're going to be doing and listen. And there's a couple different opportunities for listening to this stream, as you see when you go to that address. Well, as I say, welcome. Welcome once again. Pardon that indulgent set. Perhaps as I ramble for a while, it'll make a little more sense. But there you go. This show is pretty much going to be an extremely, well, I don't know. I don't think it is. But then Fox doesn't think their news is biased either, so let's just be honest. This is going to be a really biased kind of lefty take on what's going on today in the city. Sounds like a lot of protesters. I've already talked to a couple people, and I hope that there are just hundreds of thousands of people. And I'm sure that if you're listening online in the city now, you know. Get on out there. Bring the kids. Bring grandma. Show the world that you know protesters are a peaceful bunch of folks, and that you can protest peacefully and legally, and try to do a little bit of direct action. You might even want to go to Central Park. It's beautiful at this time of year. I guess. Okay, right off the bat, I'm going to list a few websites that you might want to check out while you're listening to this. We've got rncnotwelcome.com. That's rncnotwelcome.com. That's kind of a really nice site to go to for an overview of what's going on in the city this week. And there's also unitedforpeace.org. Those are the folks who have organized this enormous march that's happening today from Union Square. Sorry, from 7th Avenue and 14th Street or thereabouts. Uptown on 7th, past Madison Square Garden, east on 34th Street, down 5th to Broadway, and then to Union Square. And then everyone is being asked to disperse quickly because so many people are expected that if people don't disperse quickly at the end of it, some people may never get to begin, I believe. That's just how many people we hope will be there today. Then, of course, everyone can go to Central Park after that. I hope that we'll be getting some reports from there later on in the day just to hear how it looks. I'm pretty sure that, I'm not quite as prepared as I might have been. Well, that's always the case, but I have a really, really good excuse this time. I was arrested on Friday night participating in the critical mass bike ride. And I'll go into that at tremendous length in a little while, but if you hear lots of silence and me rustling through papers, I mean, I think you're going to have to hear a lot of that today, but please bear with me. With any luck, there will be some really good parts as well. So rncnotwelcome.com, unitedforpeace.org, counterconvention.org. Also great kind of overview kind of a site. There's Times Up, that's TIMES-up.org. That's a kind of a biker critical mass related site that lists things that are going to be going on that they're doing these days. And I actually haven't had a chance to go there since I was released from jail last night. But maybe there's some info on that from a proper perspective, kind of a lefty biker, anti-motor vehicle, anti-police type of a perspective. So you might want to go to times-up.org, read about that. As I said, there's a lot of stuff going on in Central Park today. I believe that the billionaires for Bush are playing croquet on the Great Lawn at the moment, or maybe did already. And I believe that Reverend Billy is going to be performing wedding ceremonies this afternoon. That's Reverend Billy of the Church of Stop Shopping, who has the most incredibly bitchin' choir in the whole world. They demand to be seen. Okay, so yeah, I guess I should point out, I mean, it does seem a little bit far-fetched, but if you're listening online, know someone who's at the protest or out and about in the city today, maybe participating in some sort of activity, and you think that they would want to call in to WFMU, the number in the studio is 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. I mean, I think I'm actually going to ramble about my rest for like 15 minutes or so, but I am welcoming, I mean, I'd like to hear from some people who aren't necessarily at the protest, who just want to talk about life in the age of security and or their feelings. You know, I'm going to talk to a couple of DJs and a couple of friends later who aren't actually at the protest, but have something to say about the current administration and you know, how they're motivated to try and elect someone else to the White House in 2004 in November. Let's see. I'm going to have some co-hosts or guests, I don't know, other folks hanging around taking calls. Tom Sharpling's going to be in here, and Terry T, I believe, and Dan Gaeta, I believe, and Chris T as well. And that brings up another important point. I have said, and I sound like the Cosmic Cowboy, but for the purposes of this broadcast, I will also be Jason Engel. So yeah, don't be confused if you hear Jason and Cowboy. They are one and the same. So like I was saying, I went to this bike ride on Friday night, and I don't know if you're, you know, you may or may not be familiar with Critical Mass. It's a kind of a loosely knit organization of folks who promote transportation alternatives and celebrate it once a month by celebrate those alternatives in the form of bicycles once a month on the last Friday of each month. And a ride originates from Union Square in Manhattan and tours around the city, and it's been doing so for a number of years at this point. Often delaying traffic, though typically not for very long, and often drawing the attention of the police, but really never have there been arrests before, and generally speaking, the police have seemed more amused than angered by the bikers. And I mean, that's true even of motorists who are delayed, and pedestrians tend to cheer. But I mean, how can you get, you know, it's kind of hard to get angry at a bunch of people riding their bikes, right? Well, sure enough, this past Friday, the police not only, you know, paid attention to the ride, but arrested a whole bunch of people, like you know, somewhere in the mid 200s. It was a really beautiful ride. It was a beautiful ride until things turned less beautiful. So my own experience was that I was riding down 7th Avenue, and when we got to 34th Street, the police had stretched a cordon across of scooters and vehicles across 34th Street, so the bikes and traffic couldn't pass going south, though in fact a lot of bikes had passed there already and were, you know, proceeding south through the city. But my own particular chunk of the ride got turned around at 34th Street. We went north a block, turned west on 35th Street. We're riding west on 35th Street, and as we approached 10th Avenue, a cordon of scooters crossed 10th Avenue or crossed 35th Street at 10th Avenue, blocking off 35th Street at 10th Avenue completely. We turned around, and the same thing happened behind us at Dyer Avenue, which is between 9th and 10th. It's the road that leads into the Lincoln Tunnel from 34th Street, I believe. So there we were, trapped by two lines of scooter police on 35th Street. Trapped, but no one, you know, I mean, it was the most absolutely well-behaved bunch of people you could possibly imagine. Everyone, in fact, squished up onto the sidewalks with their bikes in an attempt to not block the street, and squished right against the walls in an attempt to not block the sidewalks, hoping that that would satisfy the police who were on hand. But sure enough, an entire, you know, whatever, squadrons of cops kind of arrived and poured into the street from both directions. They proceeded to slowly but surely arrest every single person there, all 150 or so of us that were on 35th Street in that block were arrested. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty negative impression that you have to get of, you know, I mean, as I said, whatever. The police were, in fact, decent to a person. But you know, there's still tools of a government that's using them. I mean, that's the definition of a tool, isn't it? But I mean, the government is clearly using the police, both the local and, you know, local government, in accordance with federal enthusiasms, are using the local police to intimidate people and discourage them from expressing their opinions, particularly if those opinions are contrary to those of the Republican Bush administration and the Republicans who are in town for the RNC. I guess I hadn't even mentioned that yet. Sure enough, the Republican National Convention is happening. That's why we're doing this broadcast, and that's why I got arrested on Friday night, because our bike ride had, I mean, though it had not, in fact, turned into a political event, it was treated as such, and not that that was any reason to arrest us, but they were mistaken even in that respect. So there we were on 35th Street, and the police came, and they slowly but surely started handcuffing everyone in plastic handcuffs and taking their stuff and putting it in plastic bags and tying the plastic bags to their bikes. I mean, in fact, at first they were just kind of throwing bikes in a big heap as they handcuffed people, which made me very, very nervous. I was riding a bike that I cherish, that I've had for many years, and I wasn't alone. There were a lot of people with really nice bikes in that block. And other, whatever, bikes to whom the owners were particularly attached, regardless of their value. So that was kind of scary. But then in the end, this whole tedious process included really extensive documentation and tagging of property that set my mind at ease, and I think the minds of the other people who were on 34th Street, or 35th, rather. But so in any case, so there we were, sitting on the street for hours, literally like a few hours, as they managed to slowly arrest everyone in groups of five, males and females separately, of course. It was pretty nice, pretty ordinary, nice bunch of folks. You know, folks in their 60s, folks in their teens, and people of all ages in between. And so we got hauled down to a pier on the west side, below the Chelsea Piers. I guess it's like around 15th or 16th Street. I really didn't pay attention to what number pier it was. I should have, but there's an enormous detention center that's been built inside one of the garages on the pier, and you It's, I think it's, I don't know, I mean it had like a parks department employee sitting in the little booth outside as we were driven in, in fact in a city bus that had been commandeered for the purposes of arresting us. So there we are. We're driven inside this building. The cops get off. They shed their weapon. They check their weapons. We get driven inside, and we're in an enormous room. As I say, what normally used as a garage, in which have been built tremendous, brand new chain link fence pens with razor wire on top. And there are like, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen pens on each side that are maybe, I don't know, 30 by 30, something like that. And then at the back of the building is an enormous, like a football field-sized cage that I guess is for those special times when a ton, really like so many people get arrested at once. So the city has built lots of cages, which is terrific, but they don't seem to have stepped up the processing end of the deal, purposely or not. And in fact, I should point out that the floor of those pens is, I mean, it's a garage. The floor of those pens has not been treated in any way. It's just like straight up grease and motor oil and antifreeze. I mean, if you touched the floor at all, you turned black as if you had touched coals. So of course, everyone got nice and dirty in these pens because we were held there from midnight or 1 in the morning until 8 or so. Now, I mean, of course, that time, you know, would vary. And I mean, I think I got the feeling that the critical mass arrest... Yes, the critical mass arrest was something of a test run for the system. I think that that they're looking to they were looking to try and iron out some of the kinks, which appeared to be many. I mean, during the arrests, you know, it was like, okay, we've got to take their stuff. Oh, we don't have any plastic bags. Okay, get plastic bags. And then okay, we've got to tag up their stuff. Oh no, we don't have any tags. Send for some tags. And then oh no, we have to take their pictures. Tag their pictures. You know, go send for some film. Oh, they did have the cameras, but they didn't have enough film. And they take Polaroids. It could be that the New York City Police Department is solely responsible for the continued existence of Polaroid as a company. I mean, it really, they went through boxes and boxes of film. And, so there we were. We're in the pen, and you know, like they had had some. The officers on the scene had arrested us, and then right at the last minute, they took our groups of five and brought in what were clearly rookie, unfortunate rookie cops, who were being taught how to do paperwork and were being taught how staying up all night in a cage over the Hudson River is a good way to spend the night. I mean, outside the cages was almost as much of a cage as inside the cages in that place. So here come these rookie cops, and they took us, you know, in groups of five, and they became our arresting officers. But then when the time came for us to be arraigned, it turned out that the judge wouldn't accept these adopted arresting officers. They wanted the original arresting officers, and that led. That actually was okay for me. By a coincidence, I had been arrested initially by a member of a bicycle police team, and since they don't have any way to transport perps, they don't actually make arrests themselves. So I was, my adopted arresting officer was fine with the court, which turned out to be really, really great. So there we were. We're kept in the cages. You know, the next morning, they very so slowly process us. And, like, and by process, I mean, okay, no one was ever told that they were under arrest. Of course, no one was ever read their rights. That, I know, is optional these days in court. But it was really hard to tell at what point. I mean, obviously, when they slip the handcuffs on you, you know you're under arrest. I mean, that's nothing says you're under arrest like a pair of handcuffs. But then, so, like, we went through this initial processing where they kind of unpacked our crap from the plastic bags that had been thrown in, and they looked through it, and they gave us vouchers for it. So then it was, you know, officially. Until then, we had been expected to tote the crap around in our plastic bags. I speak for myself. Other people may have had good things with them, but I had an old messenger bag filled with crap, pretty much. Though it did have a bunch of information that I'll be reading later. So, so we go through this minimal processing, and then we go into a pen on the other side of the building that's hanging on the pier over the Hudson River, and we wait there for, I don't know, a couple of hours. You know, mind you, it was kind of hard to sleep on the grease floor or the couple of benches for each 50 to 70 people that were detained. And of course, since they were processing people very, very slowly, they were kind of every 5 or 10 minutes they would call out a name or two, which, you know, discouraged you from sleeping because you hardly want to miss your name and fall behind when you're hoping to speed this up as much as possible. So, okay, so we wait through there. We're taken to Central Booking, which is downtown, kind of, I believe it's on Center Street, south of Chinatown, down by the north of the Brooklyn Bridge, something like that. So we're in there, and we go over there in these nice little armored buses. And okay, so then they start processing us again. We get our fingerprints taken and our photos taken, mind you, separately in different parts of the building. And in both cases, we had to line up shackled in groups of five and stand up and sit down and slowly slide down a wall, shackled together. Both first to have our photos taken, so that took hours because they were taking photos of people one person at a time, and they were taking them down to this little, they were having you line up shackled in groups of five, and you would inch down the wall, and then you'd take you downstairs to this room one at a time and take your photo. And then you did the same thing again to go into a room and have your fingerprints taken. Someday, perhaps, the NYPD will have a fingerprint machine. Mind you, the fingerprint machine was extremely high-tech. It's a touchpad, digital computerized thingamajiggy. Why that same thingamajiggy can't take your photo is a mystery to me. But maybe someday. So they do that to us. Then we're in... let's see. They ask us some health questions. You know, they ask if we've got tuberculosis and whether we're addicted to drugs and so forth. And then after that, we were actually, that was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the first opportunity that most people had to make a phone call once they had their cell phones taken away at the scene. I mean, fortunately, I did miss my Friday night show here on WFMU, but I was able to call Sue thanks to a gentleman with a cell phone who was near me. So at least she wasn't taken by surprise when I didn't arrive for my show. So we got arrested at 9, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we actually had access to a phone. We were in cells that had phones in them, which was really handy for everyone. I think I wasn't alone in having things that I wanted to take care of and folks that I needed to get in touch with in that time. We waited there a couple of few hours. Oh, I guess I should point out that at that point we had been fed two little boxes of Kellogg's Bran Flakes and two little boxes of milk. Have to admit I wasn't terribly hungry, but I think it was just the atmosphere, and had I been, I would have been shit out of luck, as they say. And so then we got a bologna sandwich. And a cup of juice that clearly didn't have any juice in it. It tasted like every sort of sweetener, but not really like any sort of fruit. And then, so like a few hours later, I mean, at this point I was actually, I have to admit, I was beginning to despair that until I got that bologna sandwich, I was feeling optimistic that I would at least certainly be out of detention by Sunday morning and be able to come down to the station and complain on the air about it. And then by six, we were slowly crawling through the system, and there were kind of about 100 of us together that were kind of slowly, they kept calling us pretty randomly, so we were kind of inching through and we would pass each other. And so there were about 100 of us or so in four cells, and it occurred to me, you know, they were calling us at such an incredibly glacial pace that I thought it really seemed by 6 o'clock in the evening that... they only guaranteed to have court going until 1 in the morning, and it didn't seem like there was any way that more than half of these people could get through the system, you know, see a legal aid lawyer. Mind you, those people were extremely fast, but nothing else was, and it didn't seem like it would happen. And a few minutes later, just as I began to despair of getting out and being able to come here and do this show, I was in fact called. Within 2 minutes, saw a legal aid lawyer who was charming and lucid and answered my questions. Thank you, Kate Mogulescu of the Legal Aid Society. I mean, I know they're poorly funded, but I've met a few public defenders before, and they were really, really scary. I mean, with friends like the previous public defenders that I've met, you sure don't need prosecutors, as the case may be. So thanks again to Kate Mogulescu. I pled not guilty. Oh, in fact, I should point out, this is very important. So after arresting me and charging me with disorderly conduct and participating in an unauthorized procession, I was held for 23 hours and went to court, and they said that they offered me that if I pled guilty, I could get off on time served. So they would basically say, wow, detaining you in a dirty spot and punishing you by sending you through this system and making you inch down hallways shackled to other people will be your punishment for having ridden your bicycle in a way that we thought was inappropriate. Right. And if you did that, in fact, the bicycles are being held as evidence, so it's really good that they're well documented, because if you got a desk appearance ticket, which a lot of people did, then you got a court date for September 15th, and you basically just have to go down there and appear. And I believe, I don't know what's going to happen. I believe the charges are going to be dismissed. I got a court date for the end of October, and so my bicycle is going to be held until I go to court at the end of October. So that's kind of a high price to pay for pleading not guilty. But at the same time, I mean, I will not be cowed. That's why I was at the race in the first place, at the ride in the first place, because... Or one of the reasons anyway was because I had heard that the police had threatened to arrest people, and I thought that it's really, really hideous that that people are being discouraged from doing what they do in an attempt to whatever. They're just keeping people down. That's all I'm trying to say. So did we get all the way through that? No, I've been arraigned and pled not guilty, went outside. Oh, I have to point out, as we were being arrested, some really great folks from the National Lawyers Guild, this is something you'll probably want to know if you protest later in the week. I mean, they're all wearing green hats. They're pretty conspicuous. They say National Lawyers Guild on them. And these are folks who will they'll help you out. I mean, they help to walk you through the system. I have to say, talking to them as I was being arrested in the first place, talking to them on 35th Street, really helped to put my mind at ease that that I was just simply going to be processed and would definitely get out. Their number, in case, is 212-679-6018. And their website is www.nlgnyc.org/rnc. It's www.nlgnyc.org/rnc. That's the National Legal Guild, sorry, National Lawyers Guild, New York City chapter. Folks are great. They took everyone's names. You can call them when you are then absolutely incarcerated, which I did when I finally got to a phone. And they make sure you get arraigned. They kind of track your progress and make sure that you don't get lost, which is nice. And then when you leave, they greet you and they talk about, you know, they ask how things were concluded, and they talk about your options, and they you know, if you need any. So hooray for the National Lawyers Guild, 212-679-6018. They're the people to call if you see people getting arrested or if you're getting arrested yourself. Then I had to get my possessions back from a trailer that's located a few blocks away from the courtroom at Pearl and St. James Street, and it just so happened that there was a situation going on at the time. That situation, in fact, was a mysterious package that had been discovered down toward the Brooklyn Bridge, like a few hundred yards from this trailer. And it had just occurred as I arrived there. So now it's 9 o'clock at night. I got arrested 24 hours earlier. I did not lie down on the greasy floor. I mean, it was funny to look at who did and who didn't, and how people who resisted the greasy floor initially slowly broke down. I did manage to slump against the chain link fence and get a little bit of a nap, and wound up getting fairly dirty, but I did not get covered with grease from head to toe as a lot of people who slept on the floor did. So that's how I'm feeling and looking like a rag as I come out of this place. I talk to the charming folks from the National Lawyers Guild again, and off I go to get my stuff, and I find out that there's this situation. Even though, I mean, as I arrive, there is someone walking away who has just claimed their stuff. And there are two people who arrived just before me who had been told that they couldn't get their stuff. Now, I mean, when you've been in detention for 24 hours and you're really dirty and they've got your keys, I mean, you really can't leave until you get your stuff. And, you know, when there's a situation, there's really no telling how long that situation is going to go on. Well, I guess we were fortunate. It only took an hour, and I was able to get my stuff, as were the other people. Incredibly, just as I'm the next person to get my stuff, this cop who's standing there kind of minding the area, I mean, it's near One Police Plaza and it's a veritable security zone. He says to me, well, was it worth it? And I had a really, really long answer for him. And, you know, I think I'm going to pick up, the phone's ringing, I'm going to pick up a phone. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at, was it worth it? The upshot, the end of my really, 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 really long and kind of vitriolic answer to that cop was that, in fact, yes, it was worth it, and I would do it again tomorrow. I got Tom Sharpling in the studio here. He's offering his technical services. That's great. He's going to be my phone guy right now. Why don't you, can you,
say hello to people?
Don't be timid. He is making the best I'm shy face ever. It's me. It's my fault. Oh, and we've got a call in here already because Tommy did it. So, but just say hi, Tommy. You have to. Yes.
Okay. Hey, I can't hear myself in the headphones.
That's because you're listening to the Mackie board.
How about those headphones over there? They should work.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Okay. Well, thank you, Tommy. We've got Tommy Sharpling in the studio taking care of the phones, and we have someone on the line, I believe. You're on the air with WFMU. Sorry. There you are. Now you're on the air with WFMU.
Hey, Jason. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
How's it going?
Can you hear me with the helicopters are pretty loud right now.
Oh, I can hear you fine. That's great. They make a perfect backdrop. I'm going dry, you know, got the reverb on, but otherwise we're dry, so that's a perfect bed.
Great. So there's a huge mass of people here. I've just traveled from 14th all the way to 34th, mainly traveling up 6th Avenue so I can, like, you know, examine people on the perimeter of the march, and I'm handing out the FMU number to quite a few people. We're going to have the hairdressers for peace calling in,
right,
the mathematicians for peace, the Jewish Met fans to end the occupation.
Excellent.
And a quite famous Met fan, I ran into Lynn Stewart, and she said she's going to call in.
Wow, I hope she's not distracted. That would be really amazing.
We all know attorney Lynn Stewart, but she may be distracted because about 10 minutes after I spoke to her, I saw her walking down the street, and she hit a pothole, and when rolling over on her belly, she, in a fall that sort of reminded me of Tommy Lee Sorter getting hit by the bat back in the All-Star game a number of years back, and that may have shook it out of her memory, but hopefully she'll call. She is a bit of a publicity hound.
That I know of her. And just for folks who don't know, Lynn Stewart is just a lefty icon. She's a true radical and has supported a bunch of terrorist suspects as they wind their way through the American legal system. And I don't know. She's great.
So Danny Glover will not be calling in. I wouldn't know him from a fucking hole in the ground, but somebody said, "Hey, there's Danny Glover." So I went over to him and asked if he'd call in, and he didn't really turn my way. So
that's cool.
So
cool.
We will not be hearing from Danny Glover.
Cool. You gave Tommy a heart attack.
No, I specifically told people that we are very language friendly today, and a couple people I've given to flyers were covered with fucks all over their T-shirts. So I hope they'll similarly salt their language.
Excellent. It's about freedom.
And, you know, one of the big issues for me as a frequent urinator, as I'm a frequent drinker, you know that the cops often, you know, at rallies make sure that there aren't bathrooms because it's an easy way to make people go home early. But contrary, there are porta-potties on almost every corner, and...
That's amazing in New York.
I guess the alternative of a urine smelling city, you know, for the Republican delegates is.
I wonder. Do you think they were responsible? I think it was UFPJ.
Well, yeah.
I mean.
But the porta potties are becoming like a big receptacle for stickers. Or, you know, of course, there's stickers abounding today. So
nice.
Maybe later on I'll go to one of the porta potties and read off some of the stickers.
That sounds great.
So I'm going to continue around the perimeter giving out stuff. What I've been talking to people and telling them to call in, you know, generally between 2 and 3 or generally between 4 and 5, just so, like, people spread out. And
cool.
Hopefully
that sounds great. I mean, feel free to invite people to call in sooner, too. I mean, I just finished up my my little ramble about getting arrested. It was kind of a long ramble, but and I'm sure I left a lot of stuff out, but I think I hit all the big parts.
Well, you have plenty of time to, you know, fill in the details.
Update, that's true.
Okay, so I'm going to ride around, and I'll also be calling in and putting people on the phone. So.
Cool, that sounds great. Anytime you want to, thanks for being out there. And we'll,
it's too bad I can't get over to the station. I did meet this freak. His name is Woody Wood. He's a corpulent guy with a white beard and a straw cowboy hat, and he's made a whole anti-Bush CD. It has like about 40 songs on it. So I'll pass it on to you, but it's too bad you don't have it for the broadcast today.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll probably get it over here. We can get it over here by Wednesday night anyway,
right.
When I'll be on the air again.
Certainly.
So if not before that, that sounds great.
But Woody Wood may be calling in also. So.
Okay, I'll look out for Woody Wood.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Cool, have a good time.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Okie dokie. I think we're actually going to go. I've got, we're going to go to some music for a minute or two, and then maybe we'll get some more calls. So hope you're enjoying this, whatever it is, and please stay tuned. Sure enough, that's a fine one. Let My People Come from the musical of the same name. We're going to be going back to that later for sure. That's got a whole bunch of great songs about liberation and freedom and revolution. So let's play another song. This is the title track to Patty, and I think we're going to go to some calls right after that. So please stay tuned.
Changed you from the girl.
Okay, we're back here in the studio at WFMU with the sounds of Revolution. In fact, that was the sounds of the Rimshot doing the title track to Patty. Really great. Really great. Musical from the 70s with a bunch of great soul music on it. Let me give out the websites again really quickly for those of you who are listening online. You probably want to check out rncnotwelcome.com, unitedforpeace.org, counterconvention.org, timesup, that's T-I-M-E-S hyphen up.org. That's kind of a bicycle-related, critical mass-oriented type site. Then, you know, additionally, I didn't mention before, there's billionairesforbush.org. Oh, sorry, com. What am I thinking? Billionairesforbush.com. There's missiledickchicks.org, I believe. And there's greendragon.org. All of those websites are really fun. Have some audio, and I guess you should definitely check them out. I mean, I'm probably going to be playing some Billionaires for Bush audio and some Missile Dick Chicks before too long, but in the meantime, check those out. I think we're going to go to the phone lines now.
Hello,
are you on FMU?
I don't know. You tell me.
You are.
Fabulous. I'm calling with the report from the Great Lawn.
Oh, great. Truly.
Is this actually am I live on the stream?
You are live on the stream as we speak.
So do you want to hear what's happening?
Yeah, please. Let me know your name.
My name is Rudy.
Rudy. Oh, good to hear from you, Rudy. You know, I'm Jason today as well as Cowboy. So don't be timid. You can.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
All right.
I don't know if I'm allowed. I ran into Dan on the street the other day, OC DJ.
Uh-huh.
He said you had a rough time on Friday. I hope you're doing well.
I am well and filled with vitriolic energy.
Well, there's not much vitriol here on the Great Lawn, let me tell you. I would say there are three dozen softball players. There are probably about three dozen guys with their shirts off who shouldn't have their shirts off trying to get a tan. And there's this one guy smack dab in the middle of the lawn with a sign. I mean, he's really like standing out. He's like standing in like far left field of one of the softball games. He's actually sitting now. And he's kind of pale skinned, and he's using the sign to sort of deflect the sun out of his face.
Right, right.
And he's
right.
Totally alone. And there's this like, you know, photographers, media are here, and they're walking up to him one by one. And this guy has given more interviews today than anyone. I mean, he's just a constant stream of interviews. And, you know, so I'm sort of sitting watching him in fascination. So eventually I wanted to talk to him. He's completely inarticulate. So there's going to be all these horrific quotes in the paper tomorrow from the lone protester. But then finally some other guy shows up with a sign. And, like, it's at the other end of the field, and they sort of look at each other like, you know, like Rams sort of facing off to fight over territory or something. And it was this really poignant moment. They walked towards each other. They sort of shook hands. It was really like, I really felt like they'd sort of met, you know, soulmates. Now there are now two signs on the Great Lawn.
Wow, the first two protesters.
There are two signs, right?
The first of thousands, no doubt.
I mean, what do you say to someone like that? Like, hey, I want to start a protest.
You say congratulations for having the nerve to be the first protester.
But the thing that's going on, let me get out of the way. The other thing that's going on that's ridiculous, there are like troop carrier helicopters circling the city. Like the big ones with two propellers that sort of, you know, look like very awkward bumblebees kind of floating along. There's a procession of three of them, like, circling Manhattan.
Wow,
like, they're
yeah,
ready to drop yeah, down yeah, at any point yeah. and deliver, you know, 1,500 Marines to, like, the scene of the crime.
Yeah, well, that sets a nice air. Doesn't sets a nice mood, doesn't it?
So, in any case, I Great Lawn, all quiet on the Great Lawn front.
Okay. Whatever. I'm sorry to hear that, but
Well, I think I imagine that after you know, when the actual march is over, my theory is that, you know, tens of thousands of people are going to get on the six local and just come up and storm the park, but we'll see.
I would guess, and I sort of hope so, even
though. Ooh, high fly to left field. Hold on. Oh, dropped it.
Yeah, a friend of mine was wondering whether the baseball and softball games would be canceled today. Cause,
well, these guys kind of look like irregulars. I don't know that these are sort of standard issue unpermitted softball playing could rip up the field as well. I mean,
there's sign-up sheets for those fields, and they're used by all sorts of groups who aren't necessarily that well organized.
Really?
A friend of mine plays on them once a year when his friends put together a little, like, a one-day softball tournament. So that's in keeping with what I know about them. But I was actually, I'm fascinated by the prospect of the police trying to close off Central Park, which I suspect is possible from what I saw the other night.
They don't have enough cops here to do anything right now. There's some of those, like, remote patrol centers, like they permanently have parked off of Washington Square Park,
right,
where,
right,
you know, they're little sort of, like, luxury RVs or whatever they are. And they, there's a couple of those sort of parked around, but there actually aren't many cops around right now at all.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. That's always good to hear.
I want to have entertaining news reports. Sometimes I feel like I should cede the floor to other people with better excitement from Madison Square Garden.
Okay. Well, but it's nice to hear what's going on in Central Park, and that was kind of the point of the day. So I hope you'll call back in a while.
I'll call back as soon as anything. You know, like as soon as
when
like,
there's when there's a third when the third protester arrives.
When the third protester arrives, or when like there's some score in the softball game, they're really just not okay. They're not moving the guys around the bases at all.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye.
Drags up.
Okay. Hello. You're on WFMU now. How you doing?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
I haven't been listening, I gotta say.
Well, there you go. That's one of the bizarre aspects of this show is that the listeners and the participants are almost mutually exclusive.
Yes. I understand.
Assuming that you're not out there in a Wi-Fi spot with your laptop, but
I'm not in a Wi-Fi spot. I'm actually standing on the corner of 7th Avenue and 19th Street.
Uh-huh, cool.
And I'm waiting to move, but I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, so the march is proceeding, but it's backed up.
Yeah, I had walked up on 6th Avenue. I walked up a couple of blocks,
uh-huh,
and you can kind of look over, and you can see that people are moving on 7th Avenue there.
Uh-huh.
So I think we're just waiting for the people to filter off of the streets that are north of here, and then we're going to start moving.
I see what you mean. Yeah, that makes sense. I think it'll probably take a while for everybody to get moving.
I think so. Who's this? The Cosmic Cowboy, right?
Cosmic Cowboy. Also Jason today. It's sort of a special event.
Oh, hi, Jason. It's weird to hear your voice during the day. But
yes,
then again, I can't recognize your voice at night, so I guess it's not.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, your phone is so beautifully bright. There's an awful lot of crowd noise behind you. I mean, I can hear you perfectly, but the crowd noise makes a beautiful bed. It sounds like an active crowd.
Oh, yeah, it is a very active crowd. We just screamed a moment ago. I think we're actually starting to move.
Congratulations.
It might be another false alarm, though. We've had a couple. But it looks like people are moving actually on 7th Street, and that hasn't happened before.
Okay, that's great. Any great signs around you or groups of people who you think are particularly colorful?
Let's see. We had a bunch of older folks doing a drum circle. That was kind of neat.
Oh, that's nice.
This says, here's a sign. Maybe you can tell me what this means. Joe Scarborough murdered his intern. Where's the outrage, MSNBC?
That rings a bell, but I'm sorry, I don't know. And I think my assistant didn't have his headphones on at that second, so maybe don't think I'm going to know what that means.
Okay, that makes sense. Here's one.
In fact, you want to repeat that? I think I have a specialist for this.
Joe Scarborough murdered his intern. Where's the outrage, MSNBC?
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Tom's going to take that one.
What?
Tom's going to take that one, and he'll explain. Tom Sharpling's working the phones, and he'll explain that.
Okay, that's good. There's no other one here says, Bush, you're not on the air, right? So I can say bad words?
Right, exactly. Only webcast, and you're welcome to say bad words.
Okay, so there's signs that say Bush is a shithead. There's ones that say that fuck Bush is all over the place, and Buck Fush is also a
Yeah,
place.
You know, I saw someone with a little badge on the other day that said that. So let's make way for Tom Sharpling so he can explain that the Joe Scarborough. So.
That Joe Scarborough thing.
Okay. You know, I think I'm going to have to leave now because things are starting to move.
Okay, congratulations.
But I'll call back in when I'm positively underway.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, and we'll hear the explanation. So if you want to hang on and listen to Tom, you'll know what that sign means, but we'll consider you on your way.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Okay.
I'm probably not in mono is why he didn't know I was talking.
Oh, yeah, sure enough.
Sure enough. Joe Scarborough was a politician who's now a kind of right-leaning host on MSNBC, I believe, and he had a similar dead intern scandal, kind of like Gary Condit. And MSNBC still hired him, and he hosts a show on their esteemed cable network. And
well, that's a good moderately obscure reference to have on your sign that really is confrontational, but not applicable.
Yeah, exactly. And Joe Scarborough's even made jokes about it on IMUS and stuff.
It's kind of
disgusting.
Wow. I saw a really great shirt in jail the other day. And in fact, I actually had seen it at the ride beforehand. But it I should point out, like, it was really nice. It was like all like an iron-on, like unicorns and nice little things on the front, and on the back it said, "God hates universal health care," which I thought was really great. It doesn't really make sense, but I thought it was incredibly funny, and in fact, in another, like in a broader way, makes so much sense.
It makes sense.
I mean, this administration is guided by, you know, or whatever, guided by their religious beliefs, and I think that they would pay more mind to what goes on Earth sometimes if they didn't think that they had an eternity in happy land coming to them no matter what.
Yeah. They didn't have that in their back pocket.
Yeah, exactly. You know, global warming, well, you know, we're not going to be around for it, you know, and you know, our kids are all going to go to heaven, and, you know, only deviants and terrible bad people, criminals, don't go to heaven, so what does it matter anyway? And they don't deserve good air to breathe anyway.
As long as you kind of squeeze as much of the cheddar out as you can while you're sitting here right now.
Yeah. So I guess we're going to go back to some music. I guess that means I'm going to cue something up while you listen to me. And I know what we're going to play. Oh, wow. Gee, how about that? I'm more organized than I thought. We're going to hear from great record by the Reverend Ian and Caroline Mitchell. It's called Songs of Protest. And let's hear something let's hear Look at the Wave.
Place of origin, nowhere to go and no place called home. All it has is the wind as it rolls along. Think of the birds up in the sky, then think of the reasons that make men cry. The times of war and the times of peace, then hope and pray for the day when the wars will cease. Picture a man whose skin is brown, lost and forgotten, he can't be found. Freedom was given a long time ago, but down through the years he still has got nothing to show. Learn to help the other in order that we will someday be brothers. Walked in. Think had no place of origin, nowhere to go and no place called home. If we would just lend a hand, he would never be alone.
All right, here we are. Okay, I've got Todd's back on the phone, and we've got he's among Vietnam vets who are doing a bunch of Bush chants. So let's see if we're in the middle of one now or something. Oh, here we go. Hey, Todd, are you there? Okay, there we go. We see the limitations of cell phone technology, and I'm going to bring down the Vietnam vets. Angry at George Bush, which is great, as they ought to be, but in fact, not with good enough fidelity for us to really hear what they were saying. So thank you, Todd. We'll be hearing again from him. And in the meantime, here's some Tom Clay and, well, whatever it is.
What is segregation?
I don't know what segregation is.
What is bigotry?
I don't know what bigotry is.
What does hatred mean?
I don't know what it is.
What is prejudice?
I think it's when somebody's sick.
Coming by now, police motorcycles. Just heard a call on the radio for all units along Industrial to pick up the motorcade. Something has happened here. We understand there has been a shooting. The presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connolly are in the car with President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade, trying to follow them. It looks as though they're going to Parkland Hospital.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin. Dallas, Texas. The flash, apparently official. President John F. Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He's free.
Such a cold days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. I would like to live.
No one can be certain who next will suffer from some senseless act of bloodshed.
Yordi has just sent me a message that we've been here too long already. So, my thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
Oh, my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot. Ripley Johnson has a hold of a man who apparently has fired the shot. Get the gun. Stay away from the gun.
His hand is frozen. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to. Get his thumb. All right. That's it, Raper. Get it. Get the gun, Raper. Hold him. We don't want another Oswald.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty. That is the way he lived. That is what he leaves us. My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. Be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it. Those of us who loved him and who take him to his rest today pray that what he was to us, what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times, in many parts of this nation, those he touched and who sought to touch him. Some men see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not.
Segregation.
I don't know what segregation is.
What is bigotry?
I don't know what bigotry is.
What does hatred mean?
I don't know what it is.
What is prejudice?
I think it's when somebody's sick.
Taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made, and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are six or seven or eight, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be carefully taught.
Hey, how about that? That was Carefully Taught from South Pacific. And indeed, you do have to be carefully taught to hate. But you also can not be taught to hate, and I think that it's probably not most people's inclination when they exit the womb to be hating other people. So So if you don't teach people to hate, then they won't. We'll assume that, right? I'm a pretty optimistic kind of a guy. But if you do teach people to hate, if you teach them that your God is a better God than anyone else's God, and that people who believe in God differently than you do are bad, that's kind of like hating. I don't know. Personally, I hate people who believe in God. I'm just kidding. I was kind of thinking, you know, one of the things that I was thinking as I was getting arrested is, hey, what did God give me wrists for anyway? He gave me wrists to be shackled by the NYPD. So before, carefully taught from South Pacific, we heard from Tom Clay that great sound collage of What the World Needs Now is Love with all those other great sounds. This is the WFMU web stream special for the Republican National Convention happening in New York City at the moment. I'm the Cosmic Cowboy, also Jason today. Just special moment. And I think we're going to go back to the phone lines. Hi, you're on the air, WFMU. Not exactly. You're on the web stream at WFMU. How you doing? Hello? Oh, no, we don't have a caller, I don't think. Right? Tom says I'm doing everything right and there's still no one there. Thank you, Tom. That's the most important thing. I'd be pushing buttons and thinking that I was screwing things up myself. Let me read you a little bit of information about something. Oh, I think we've got this person or somebody else. Hello, you're on the web stream at WFMU.
Yes, I was told that you were asking people to call.
That's correct. And you are live on the web stream at this moment. Where are you located? Oop, I'm sorry, you're breaking up pretty bad. Looks like we lost him. Another example of the vagaries of cell phone technology. Okay, well, I've got this really cool brochure from a group called Driving Votes, and it says, visit a swing state, get Bush out. And it explains how you can put together a road trip to a swing state, register to vote there, and then vote there, and make a big difference in the next election. I mean, we have this funny system where each state is a winner-take-all type of thing, and then they add up them state delegates, more or less, and that's how they determine who's going to be our president. So, I mean, has anybody been reading about Colorado? They seem to be talking about a representative system for presidential elections, which is kind of revolutionary. But in any case... very briefly, Driving Votes is an honest-to-goodness grassroots effort started by regular folks with day jobs. We're organizing trips to swing states all over the country to register voters. We send our volunteers to the most effective local organizations in each state. Our mission is to show the world that our country will not stand for a leader that puts big business over people. You can go to drivingvotes.org. That's drivingvotes.org. And it lists, let's see, we've got Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, West Virginia. So there's an awful lot of Florida. Florida, man, drive to Florida. Vote there. Oh, boy. There's all sorts of states, and unless you're in the middle of Texas or the middle of Wyoming, you're not terribly far from one of these states that's considered a swing state. So go to all the... I've got a call coming in. I'm going to go to that. But drivingvotes.org, you want to check that out, please. Hi there. You're on the WFMU web stream.
Right. I'm trying it again. I lost my signal a while ago.
Great. I'm glad to have you back. You sound pretty strong at the moment. Could I get your name, please?
Travis Morales.
Travis Morales. Thanks for calling. Where are you hanging? Where are you at the moment?
Right now, I'm inside Revolution Books at 9 West 19th Street here in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
Sort of in between the two streams of the march. I mean, people are still waiting to move out, as well as the front of the march is about 5-6 blocks in Union Square now.
Oh, really? Wow. The Mart's almost made it all the way around. Wow, it's kind of going to be... I wonder if anyone will go around a second time.
I don't know.
I mean, it really is almost... It almost lends itself to that. So what's going on at Revolution Books today?
People are coming in, getting thousands and thousands of copies or tens of thousands of copies of the Revolutionary Worker newspaper, the paper of the Revolutionary Communist Party, to distribute. Been one of the organizing centers of people this week. I myself am from Houston, Texas. Came up from the home state of that coke-snorting, smirk-faced, frat-rat, mass-murdering serial killer to join with lots of other people in just saying a resounding no. You know, no to Bush and everything he represents, no to the preemptive wars, to Ashcroft, to Al Qaeda, the mass roundup of detention of Muslim, Arab, and South Asian immigrants, to say no, 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 no.
Indeed, and that's what I'm doing here at WFMU. I'm on the webcast saying no, and I appreciate your calling in.
Yeah, I just think it's pretty, I think we've learned a lot in this last period. I mean, here people are trying to lift their heads. I mean, this whole permit battle at Central Park, people are trying to lift their heads to decide their future and their fate and the fate of humanity in these critical times. And, you know, they've been met with these denied permits, with threats, with, as you know, interrogations by the FBI, people being followed around. And to me, I think with this whole march today and the denial of people's ability and right to go to Central Park, it just proves what Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, has said. We live under a dictatorship.
I don't doubt that for a second, and there's evidence of it everywhere these days.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at the two candidates, they're both war candidates, right? People are not even being given the right to vote on the war. It was decided somewhere else that was not even going to be an issue, so they shot down Howard Dean, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's a damn shame. But I feel strongly enough about George Bush that I'm going to go out and vote for Kerry. And
we're not telling people not to vote. I don't think that's the dividing line. But I think the question is, where do we really need to put our energy?
Oh no. I mean, there are other people to vote for, too. And I absolutely support people's right to vote not for the major parties. I mean, perhaps if more people did, there would be different major parties, and that would be really exciting. But though not a show for Democrats, I'm going to be doing that. And you know what? I got a bunch of calls coming in, so I'm gonna take off and see if I've got some people at the march.
Definitely, people still have plenty of time to come out and join the march. I mean, like I said, people haven't even begun to go out right now. And I would want to call on people to come out Monday night, just two blocks from the RNC, from the Republican National Convention, on August 30th at 7 at the Abingdon Theater, 312 West 36. There's going to be a showing of this new video, Revolution, Why It's Important.
What did we just do? Oh no, looks like we lost. Sorry, Revolution guy. Monday night, couple blocks from the convention. I guess we're going to have another call in a minute. Do we? Okay.
Yes, there I am.
Oh, forgive me. I'm confused. You're live on the WFMU webcast.
Okay.
Are you out and about in the city?
Yes, I'm out at about 28th and 7th Avenue.
Are you having a good time?
Great time, yeah. It's a little hot, but it's great to be among all these people.
Cool. What kind of groups have you seen around you that have been entertaining or educational?
I came down with a group from Albany, New York, Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace, and also members of the Green Party and Greens for Nader.
Cool.
Greens for Nader.
Cool. What have you seen going on among other groups?
Well, really creative stuff. You know, there's lots of good puppetry, lots of great, incredible signs, and lots of spirit. I really think it's a coming together of a huge mass of people that know that the direction this country's headed in has to change, and I think that's really felt by everybody that's here.
Yeah, that's it's exciting. I mean, in that respect, I mean, it's depressing when you think about what it's taken to motivate myself and many of these people. But at the same time, it's exciting to see people responding to policies that are really negative and destructive.
Right. Well, yes, that's right. I think it shows the rest of the world that there are masses of people in this country that. Are opposed to the policies of our government, and that's what feels really good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna tell you to enjoy the march, and thank you for calling.
Sure, bye.
Have a good day. Bye bye. Okay, so we heard from 7th Avenue and 28th, I believe. Where are we? I'm gonna read you some more information. You know what? I'm actually going to pull a record. So hang in there, folks, because I have just the perfect thing to play. Oh, well, so much for perfection. This is not what I intended, but it's so great anyway. You're bound to enjoy it. It's from the soundtrack to Desaad. Yes, indeed. That was the SWAT theme from the Ray Conniff Orchestra. And what did we hear before that? Who knows? Oh, we heard from the Desaad soundtrack. Okay, I think we've got a caller. Hello, caller. Are you on WFMU's web stream?
No, I'm not. This is Todd. I'm calling for the parade.
Okay. Hey, whatever. Yeah, this, you're on the web stream. You're live.
Oh, great. There's some young girls here. They have this oil painting, and it's pretty interesting, and I thought they might want to go come on the air and describe it to you.
Oh, cool. Great.
Okay, just hold on 1 second while I talk to them.
Sure.
Would you like to be live on the radio and describe your painting, please? Okay. What's your name?
Teaba, Teaba Zara. We're representing an independent artist here. His name is Terrence Ouyang, and this painting is called Y2K Election, Y2K, Birth of an Emperor. And here we have Catherine Harris giving birth to George Bush, and she's cutting the string of minority voters trying to save Al Gore, and she's cutting the string. Basically, that's the whole suppression of minority voters in 2000 election. And basically, that's what's happening in 2004. Like, they're trying to suppress Detroit voters. 93% of the Detroit voters are black, and they're trying to do the same exact thing again. And, you know, we don't want this to repeat itself. It's illegal. So our government is breaking laws, and, you know, they represent our country, and they're representing us in a very wrong way, and we're not like that. They're making us hate, and that's what they're doing, and we're not for it. Bush out of the office because he's illegal.
That's great.
Did you hear all that?
Yeah, that was great. Thanks.
You've got to see this great painting. It's Catherine Harris with her legs spread, and then a Bush coming out from the middle, and holding a globe in one hand and a rope in the other hand. What does the rope represent?
Well, basically, it's just a string that, you know, Al Gore is trying to save himself. It's a very metaphorical painting. You know, it has symbolism, and there are minority voters. They're trying to pull him out, but she's cutting the string, well, so he's going to drown, basically, and he did drown. You know, he didn't win, and Bush won, and Bush has...
Great, thanks. Okay.
Yeah.
It's quite a striking image.
Okay, that's awesome.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Okay, we're going to go back to some music. So, I mean, I don't know. That was...
Very good. Have people been calling in? Any people from...
Some people have. I mean, it's hard to tell who's one of your people, and I mean, none of those groups have called in that you named, but
okay, well, maybe when they get to the end of the march or something, they'll have more time.
Absolutely. I mean, I did talk to one person who said that there were still people starting and that the march had almost reached Union Square, and I asked whether anybody, like, I proposed the possibility of just looping around infinitely, which sounded kind of cool.
Yeah, I was up near the front. There was Jesse Jackson, and it looked like Uma Thurman in a yellow Marshall shirt, and she was like telling people to get out of the street and onto the sidewalk and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's really funny.
That's really funny.
Okay, I'll call back if I see anything interesting.
Very good. Talk to you soon. Thanks for calling. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, let's start back up with something, the theme from Fistful of Dollars. Fistful of Dollars.
not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There, there.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream. For some of us.
Easily paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
No, not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible.
Colin Powell did it with AOL Time Warner. John Ashcroft did it with Microsoft and Monsanto. Interior Secretary Gail Norton did it with BP Amoco. Condoleezza Rice did it with Chevron. Ooh, Donald Rumsfeld did it with Big Boy Sears, Kellogg, and Allstate.
Of course the Bush administration is in bed with its corporate donors.
George Bush did it with Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Enron.
Did you think they were giving it away?
Paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
Colin Powell did it with AOL Time.
Okay, there we go. We heard a little bit of sound from the Billionaires for Bush website, which is at billionairesforbush.com. We'll be hearing some more of that in a while. But in the meantime, you know what? Let me, give me some, there we go. This is really, maybe I'll get the hang of this, kind of playing stuff off the computer while I'm on mic, which is not something that I customarily do, but I know that all sorts of other people at this station do it, so I'll have to master it sooner or later, and maybe this is the moment. Live on the air, I'm sure you're enjoying my training session. I'm the Cosmic Cowboy, also going by Jason today. Special day, celebrating the protests for the RNC, of the RNC, I guess, and in fact, I've been spared. We have a caller. Hello, caller. You're on the web stream on WFMU.
Hello.
Hello. You are on the web stream. You're live on the air.
I am.
Who are you?
My name is Lori.
Lori, welcome to the web stream. And are you calling to report on the protests or some sort of activity?
I'm actually calling from Miami. The University of Miami. We're going to have the big debate here. And they're wanting us to write essays in order to attend the debate. And I'm in the process of writing my essay, and the topic is making your vote count. Democracy in action, make your vote count. And I thought to myself, what can I do to make my vote count? And I thought about Ethan Gibbs. Dave Emery, for the record, did a show all about Ethan Gibbs and his mysterious death. You know about it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get involved, and there's this organization called verifiedvoting.org,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about writing my essay about that, circulating protests, trying to get legislation.
I mean, that sounds like approaching it in a really, tangible way. I mean, absolutely. That is verifythevote.org, right?
It's verifiedvoting.org, and also truevote.com. That was Ethan Gibbs' machine. It's an electronic voting system that actually has a paper trail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't make sense to me why the only reason it wouldn't be used is if they didn't want a paper trail, if they wanted to rig the election.
That's completely obvious to me and anybody with a brain,
yeah.
I think, because, I mean, Diebold and makes, I mean, most of these companies are in the business of making other machines that do have a paper trail, and they simply don't include that on voting machines.
I know. It sounds paranoid. Oh, they want to rig the election, but it's true. I mean,
look,
it happened in 2000, didn't it?
Absolutely. I was just going to say, look at Florida last time around. And in fact, look at the machinations that have gone on in preparation for this November in Florida. I mean, I've read things that I found really astonishing about. I mean, my dad actually lived in Volusia County until recently. And wow, there's been an awful lot of activity there in the way of, I guess, intimidating folks who are getting out the vote, getting out the Democratic vote, in fact.
Yeah. I live here in Dade County. I grew up here, and I was here in 2000. Unfortunately, I was 17 at the time and unable to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm 21, and I'm voting.
Cool. That's great to hear. That's kind of, you know, I mean, I've spent a lot of the time, I mean, checking in with the protests and complaining, but that kind of is the bottom line, voting.
Yeah.
And that's the way that we can get rid of George Bush. And in fact, I'm going to make a call to a friend of mine in a little while who registered to vote for the first time in decades because
wow.
he was motivated by the current administration. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think we need to involve people who are not really necessarily always activists. I think it's got to be a broad, really broad group of people. I mean, it's so important to get rid of George Bush.
Yeah. Really, I don't want to tie up your lines anymore. I'd like to hear from more protesters, but
okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. It's great you're listening, and have a good day. And we'll okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
Let's hear something else from Billionaires for Bush.
Thurston, where did you suddenly get that walkie-talkie?
I've had it all along, my dove. You see, the statute of limitations on my creative accounting is up. Time to end this tropical charade and return to our billions.
Oh, do we have to go back? It's so cozy here on the island.
My dear, don't you listen to the coconut radio? It's the best time ever to be a billionaire in America. More than half of the last tax cut went to the wealthiest 5%.
But the voters will never allow that kind of thing.
That's what's so marvelous, lovey. The middle class believes they're going to be billionaires someday.
Well, anything's possible in America.
Oh, your naivete is so charming. My love. The fact is, the gap between them and us is getting wider all the time.
All right, we're back on the air. I believe we've... Oh, in fact, I am hearing the protest. That's what I'm hearing. Hi, you're on the air on WFMU. That's a beautiful...
Hi. It's got a marching band here playing some pretty cool music. It's not the Hungry March Band. I don't have a name for them, but they're about to start another song if you'd like to hear it.
Okay, cool. That sounds great. I mean, the last time it was kind of tough with the Vietnam vets. So.
I'll try to get right into the mix.
Okay.
You've been trying to get this on the radio. Is it coming over okay?
Moderately. It's listenable but not ideal, so I don't know what to say. I think I'm probably going to go back to we're probably going to go to some missile deck chicks. Todd. Okay, we're going to leave it at that. Thanks very much for calling in with the music, but I don't know. I get the feeling that the big sounds are not going to happen over the cell phone today, but. We do have something, we can, I believe, yeah, there we go. Stop. Okay, let's hear from the Missile Dick Chicks now, and we're going to hear Shop in the Name of War, and I'll tell you a little bit more about these ladies after this.
Shop in the name of war, you need a whole lot more. Think of it. As your civic duty, our SUVs need that oil booty. Without the taxes on your consumer billions, Uncle Sam can't afford to bomb civilians. So don't fear, grab your credit card and stay calm. That brand new car will buy a lot of napalm. Don't think it over. Don't think it over. need a whole lot more. Shop in the name of war. You need a whole lot more. Don't think it over. Don't think it over. Wars Are Us is open for business. We'll send Iraq a nice bomb for Christmas. True, our school systems have to beg and barter, but at least our bombs are getting smarter. Let's kick some ass for Texaco and BP. A little carnage never hurt nobody. Don't think it over. Don't think it over. Shop in the name of war. You need a whole lot more. Shop in the name of war. You need a whole lot more. Don't think it over. Don't think it over. The bad economy demands a new scapegoat. That's why Iraq must become our client state. So the world will be safe for Macy's, Saks, and Target to whip it out and penetrate their markets. Shop in the name of war. You need a whole lot more. Shop in the name of war. You need a whole lot more. Don't think it over. Don't think it over.
Oops, got to get that out of loop. We've got a call here, and there you are. You're on the webcast at WFMU.
Oh, hey. How's it going? It's Princess Wendy.
Oh, hi, Princess Wendy. How's it going?
Is it Jason?
Yeah, Jason.
Hey, how are you? I'm here with Billionaires for Bush. We're in Madison Square Park right now. We came down from, where did we start? I don't know, way uptown. It's been a foggy day. Anyway, we have been heckling the unwashed middle classes and all of the hippies protesting against Bush and Cheney, and we've been showing them what's right. We need four more years of this because what's good for war is good for us because we profit. We billionaires. I'm on the Million Billionaire March right now.
That's really cool. You know, I just played, not only did I just this very minute play some Missile Dick Chicks, I played Shop in the Name of War.
But
a few minutes ago, I played some sound from the billion. I played some radio ads from Billionaires for Bush.
Oh, you're so kind.
I'm not kind at all. It's my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Now, FMU is a, I would have to say that, you know, by not being part of the government, you're helping to shrink government, aren't you?
I think so.
Oh, that's so grand. So do a lot of billionaires give money to FMU?
I'm afraid that we haven't broadened our appeal to billionaires wide enough. And billionaires, not enough billionaires know about WFMU. So, in fact, it wouldn't hurt if you all could plug us a little bit while you're out there.
Yes.
Making,
I'll help spread the word. Don't worry.
Right. I mean, absolutely.
Yes, yes. To, you know, to rescue the media from the clutches of the government and put it in the hands of the billionaires, that would be a good thing, right?
That would be a good thing. I think there should only be one station, and it should be owned by billionaires.
Our Clear Channel. Oh, wait, same thing. anyway, I must go before I lose my voice. I just wanted to call and let you know of the wonderful festivities and our counter-protest.
That's fantastic. Have a good heckle, and thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, Jason. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello there. You're on the air on WFMU, on the webcast, technically.
Hi, this is listener Bill W.
Hey, Bill W. How you doing today?
Okay. I left the march around 29th Street because there was like a continuous, sort of vertical pen up to 34th Street, and my claustrophobia just could not deal with that.
Oh, I can appreciate that.
But I'm now on, Madison, about to get on the number 6 up train, uptown train to go to the Great Lawn, and I think a lot of other people did because I saw the route once it turned down Fifth Avenue, it actually looks kind of thin and scraggly.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, UFPJ was begging people to not splinter off in an organized way. I guess they didn't want to be seen as responsible for creating a march to the park, though they did encourage people to go up there. So that's interesting that people kind of trickled away.
Uh-huh.
We did get a report from the Great Lawn earlier when there was one protester, and then a second one arrived as we were speaking. So I think that there was plenty of room for more protesters up there. And,
That's still 18 short of an illegal group, isn't it?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So I'll be. Would you mind giving a call when you get up there and letting us know what's going on?
I will do my best.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much for calling in.
Sure.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. More loud sounds. Hi there. You're on the web stream at WFMU. Okay. Good enough for me. Oops, we lost that lovely bed music. That was somewhere in Manhattan right now. That was a cell phone call from the protest somewhere. The protest, I mean, I keep referring to this all very familiarly, but I'm the Cosmic Cowboy, also going by Jason today. This is the WFMU dedicated webcast for the Republican National Convention. It began at noon today and continues through the rest of the day until 7. And in fact, the stream will be 24 hours until Thursday night. And so that's the basics of what's going on. And that's why I'm saying, oh, that must have been someone from the protest. Well, there's a giant march today that originated at 14th Street and 7th Avenue, proceeded up 14th Street. I believe people are still departing. That's how massive this march is. And people are definitely have found their way all the way to Union Square, which is where the march officially terminates. Though, as you may have heard, I'm sort of fascinated. The end is so close to the beginning. I'm fascinated by the prospect of people just going around and around. But I think the tantalizing prospect of going to Central Park, I think, is probably thinning out the crowd at the end, and people are making their way up there. Heard from Bill W. a little while ago, and hope to hear from him again when he gets up to the Great Lawn, or perhaps Rudy's still up there, or someone else will call in from the Great Lawn and let us know what's going on up there, whether more people have arrived, whether the Reverend Billy is performing weddings, which, damn, I was so sure about that, but my papers are all just absolutely strewn all over the place like a huge mess, and I'll probably find out when it's too late whether that's the case or not. Heard from a billionaire for Bush. That's always nice. We actually just heard from them. You know what? Let's just hear some more Mistletoe Chicks. The Mistletoe Chicks have been performing around town. I know they're going to be at the Breakfast at Tiffany's event, which Laura Bush is holding, I believe. Is that? I don't know. So let's hear These Bombs Were Made for Dropping, and maybe I'll know what I'm talking about when I come back. Thanks for listening to the WFMU webcast.
bombs are gonna drop all over you. Watching protests on the TV. Love a circus any time of year. We laugh at those mouths if someone's listening. 'Cause W don't hear well in his left ear. These bombs are made for dropping, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these bombs are gonna drop.
Shame on you! 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 In front of Madison Square Garden.
Oh well, chaos as usual. Collect call. That's enough to just throw me into a tizzy. Could take me weeks to get over that. I know what we should hear. Let's hear some Meg Wells. Meg Wells put out a really amazing record called Once Upon a Theme, and in fact has something that's just such a huge favorite of mine. It's called Ode to a Gray Flannel Rectangle, and I hope that you can listen carefully to this.
I was wearing maidles, maidles, pistachio galoshes. No more muddy puddle stains, no more drip.
Clam?
Yep.
Well, Clem, I've come to pay you off.
Bottom of the cup of coffee, okay? Okay. Bottom of the cup of coffee, okay? Olé.
Soy Juan Fernández, un pobre obrero. Recojo café en grano. Tengo que trabajar día tras día, en calor, en la lluvia, enfermo, con fiebre y hambre. Trabajo para esta gente golosa, recogiendo café, café verde, café podrido. Ellos lo quieren todo. 6 días a la semana, 8 sacos al día. Tengo que trabajar o no me pagan.
That was Juan Fernandez of Brazil. He just said that he spends 6 out of 7 days picking 1 out of 8 coffee beans. See?
Mi país produce el mejor café del mundo, pero créanme, amigos, este café es el peor. El café es malo, la tierra es mala. un pantano. Les digo de todo corazón que ningún sudamericano que se estima bebería este café.
Bottom of the pot.
He said, one bean to the pot, one pot makes a lot. When you have got bottom of the pot coffee, okay?
Gringo sí, café no.
Don't stop it, silly.
Yes, indeed. That was Meg Wells, and don't you love... Hi there, folks. You're on WFMU on the webcast.
Hi, this is Count DeMarnay calling in of the Billionaires for Bush. Huzzah, sir.
Oh, right on. Glad to hear from you. I've been playing some of your audio so far today. And
lovely. And then we were singing some songs out here as we were marching on, supporting ourselves in four more wars.
Right on. That's great to hear.
It's been a fantastic day. We started the morning with a croquet and badminton game on the Great Lawn, and we wanted to thank the Bloomberg administration for denying all those pesky protesters their rally there so that we could have our lovely croquet matches. We then went to the Plaza Hotel and picked up the returning billionaires from the National Swing State Get on the Limo Summer Tour, coming back through eight swing states to New York. We met them at the Plaza and had a rousing speech there by Phil T. Rich and Monet Oliver Duplace. And from there, we marched on down Fifth Avenue, escorted by the lovely police of New York City. And we were the only ones, I think, here supporting the Republicans, supporting the RNC, and supporting our man George Bush, who, of course, is in office by us, for us, and the corporations that we represent. He's a person who has been, again and again, favoring the top 2% at the expense of the other 98%. And we are marching today to show that there are people here supporting those policies. And we say huzzah.
That's important work you're doing. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, I think it is important work to thank the people who keep giving and giving and giving to us.
Exactly. I mean, though I'm not sure it's, I mean, whatever. In any case, yes, it's important work you're doing for sure. And someone's got to support this gentleman.
Absolutely. And if they give us four more years, we'll give you four more wars. And we're going to ask people.
Is that a promise?
It's more than a promise. It's a guarantee.
Okay.
And if we have people not read the fine print on the tax cuts, we'll have some more of those as well.
Right on. I mean, four more wars, that could be incredibly profitable, right?
Well, war is good for profiteers. Bush and Cheney, four more years.
There you go. I mean, that's a fine chant.
Yeah. An exciting chant that we've been using out here as well.
Very nice. Okay, I'm going to take some other calls, I suppose, and thank you very much for calling.
Absolutely. Huzzah, sir. Huzzah.
Have a good day. Okay, nice to hear from Billionaires for Bush. As you could tell from that description, they've been active around the city. Plaza Hotel, speeches at the Plaza, and croquet on the Great Lawn. A lot of fun stuff. You can see their information at billionairesforbush.com. And a great website with lots of audio, and we're probably going to be playing some more of that audio. You know, in fact, what have we got? Okay. That was our 20 seconds of silence in support or in memory, in recognition of all the folks who have died in the war that's making so much money for the billionaires who are just calling in and letting us know about their activities. Good time again to thank Kate Mogulescu of the... staff attorney from the Criminal Defense Division of the Legal Aid Society, who helped me out the other night. I'd been arrested on the critical mass ride on Friday evening, and was in jail for 24 hours, and she was one of the first sane, helpful people that I saw between the time that I was arrested and the time. Well, that's not true. I mean, all the people I was arrested with were sane and helpful, but they weren't necessarily in a position to be so, not at least not as much as lawyer Kate Mogulescu was. You know someone at the protest? Call them up on their cell phone. Ask them to call 201-209-9368. And I don't know, should we go for Poppy? I've been such a weird kind of, everything's theatrical so far. I guess it's probably a mood that needs to be broken. So let's hear some Gang of Four. Let's hear some real music. So we're going to hear He'd Send in the Army by the Gang of Four. Not only would he has already. Wow, maybe we should hear every one of these. The Gang of Four, did they ever do a track that wouldn't be great for a protest show? I mean, I'm so tempted by Armalite Rifle, but let's hear He'd Send in the Army. Hi there, folks. WFMU web stream. Celebrating and criticizing the Republican National Convention for four and a half big days. Started at noon today, goes through Thursday night, and in fact is going to include, don't be mistaken, this is going to be, I think, noon to seven today is basically the call-in chunk. There may be some other audience participation type of shows, but by and large, that's going to be it, and we're going to have a ton of like audio remixes. Bronwyn will read the Patriot Act and take calls. I mean, she'll be taking calls too. But speaking of taking calls, it looks like there's some calls coming in. Let's should we go to the phone lines? Oh, maybe not. Okay. Okay. Another call. Whatever. Just go straight to them. That's fine.
Can you go straight to the other one?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hello.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
This is Ringout.
Oh, great.
Okay,
Christian. This is Jason, and you're live on the webcast on WFMU. Thanks for calling back. How have things been going today? Christian, have I lost you? Yeah, what is it? They're in a bad spot, I guess. Switch cell phones. Okay, well, we've got call another one. More noise. The sounds of protest. Hello, you're on the WFMU webcast. Okay, I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry, you're too noisy. And in fact, we're going to switch over to a record. Called The Sounds of Dissent. And it's such a cool record. It is The Sounds of Protests, though in fact they are not strictly lefty. Though in fact what we're going to hear is an anti-war march. This was recorded in New York and Washington. And there you go. And so let's hear that, please.
I believe in backing our boys in Vietnam. I believe in our president, and also that I'm an ex-veteran myself, and I have a boy in Korea right now at this day, and he's been over there for the last year. The least I can do is not only to support my own country, to support my own son who's overseas himself.
I feel that the war should end. I have a son who is the draft day.
My sign on one side reads, "Let's win in Vietnam," and on the other side says, "Thank you, draft dodges and peace sticks," and it's signed by Ho Chi Minh and the Viet Cong.
What is that flag you're carrying? National Liberation Front. Because I feel we don't belong in South Vietnam, and they represent South Vietnamese people. That's why.
I see that you're carrying an American flag. How do you feel about those who are displaying the flag of the Viet Cong?
Well, this is my flag. That may be their flag, but this is my flag, and I love it. So I carry it, and I wave it. Somebody tried to take it away from me, and I'd fight them to take it away from me.
Are you representative of any, is it organized?
No, it's, we just took it upon ourselves to come down here and protest this, what I call disgusting demonstration put on by these people. They call themselves Americans, but wanting to support our boys in Vietnam. I think that's really disgusting.
Why are you here?
Because I implacably opposed to this war. I feel that we have no business there. That the only reason we're there is because we were afraid to let them have an election, because we knew that the leftist element there would win. And that's how the whole thing started.
And if I were the president, I'd try to put every person in the country who advocates communist victory in a jail. And I'd try to indict every college student raising money and blood and flying the Viet Cong flag. They know better than that.
town. Wonderful town of political conventions and anti-war demonstrations. The policemen with motorcycles are riding up on the sidewalk trying to run people over to clear them out.
I came here to talk to you about the man.
One cop picked up a demonstrator and tossed him into the down the steps of the subway.
Who has been for 20 years right up to the present time. Yeah.
There goes the gas. Oh.
The articulate exponent of the aspirations of the human heart for the young, for the old, and for those of us in between.
They're charging into us. Press. They're charging at us. They're just swinging into this crowd.
A leader of experience who has exemplified his ability to preserve the very best that we have in our past while he accommodates what we have in the present to the demands of our future.
A stampede of policemen as they push the crowd down. One person falls on top of another, and then another, and then another. And they can't get out of it. The people in the back are being beaten. I can hear the crack on the head, and they're falling.
We're going to have to meet the challenges of the unfinished business of democracy, which is always to preserve for all of the people, young, old, and in between, those great values of democracy, which are freedom, justice, and peace.
You can hear the motorcycles. They try to run people down.
These have always been the great values of America.
They're pushing people into the hotels. And then they're pushing them back and then hitting them.
And Hubert Humphrey now moves.
Okie dokie. We're going to cut into this really great coverage of the 1968 Democratic Convention from this record, Sounds of Dissent. So don't be mistaken, that was another protest. Now we're going to go to Todd, crack reporter, who's at the, well, I don't know where he is, but he's out there in Manhattan, and he very well might be at the protest. And there you are. Can you hear me, Todd?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I've got a brave character here. He's wearing his Fry Mumia shirt, and he has a huge sign that says Criminals for Gun Control.
Right on.
Would you like to speak to him on the air?
Yeah, please.
Okay, here he is.
Yeah, hi.
Hello?
Taylor. Yeah, hi, it's Kristen Taylor with FreeRepublic.com. I'm down here on Fifth Avenue, West 32nd.
Terrific. Todd was saying you've got a really bitchin' sign and some great shtick going on. How you doing?
Doing fine. You know, it's been real peaceful here. Everyone lies, only, you know, a few arguments, a few flip-offs, but people are taking it in stride. Not many people agree with me, of course, because they're a bunch of liberals, but... You know, I'm just trying to point out to them that self-defense is a human right.
Okie doke. I mean, that's worth letting people know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that motivated me down in Washington, D.C., where I lived, there was a waiter who was killed 55 years old, got off work around midnight, walking home from God with a gun, robs him, and kills him. Now, the guy didn't have a chance. You know, guys like that should be able to defend themselves on the street.
So you don't think it's a question of taking the gun away from that guy?
They've been trying to take guns away for years. You know, Washington, D.C. and New York City have the strictest gun control laws in the nation.
Right, and all the guns here come from other states that have lax regulations. Maybe if we had some national gun control, we'd be able to...
They banned guns in Britain. Crime went up. Gun crime went up. Yeah, I mean, it's just been proven that it doesn't work. You know, would it be nice if everyone was, you know, nice to each other and we didn't need to protect ourselves? Sure, but it's not our world. It's not going to happen.
You know, that's kind of one of the reasons that I'm on the air because I'm feeling relatively idealistic, and I like to think that we shouldn't be going for, like, a lowest common denominator and saying, okay, people are bad, so we better forge a world that's based on the assumption that people are really bad. I think it's better to forge a world based on the assumption that people are good.
You're right. You know, and that's what this country was founded on. It was founded on the ideal that a moral people would be able to maintain the democratic ideals of this country.
Yeah.
And you figure that's failed and we should just move on?
No, not at all. We didn't have gun control laws back then when our country was founded. And thank God, because we were able to rise up and throw off the British.
Okay.
You know, I don't believe all people are bad, not at all. You know, there's a small amount of people that go bad in life, but the good people need to be able to defend themselves from the bad people.
Oh, wow. You know, I actually have someone on the line who would like to speak to you. Would you be willing to speak to another caller?
Yes, all right.
Okay. Here we go. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, can you two hear each other?
I can hear Terry.
Okay, I just heard him say I can hear Terry. What was the gentleman's name? I missed his name.
It's Kristen Taylor from Washington, D.C.
Kristen Taylor. Okay, hi. I just wanted to address some of the points you were talking about in terms of gun control, which is one thing, I guess it's like, you're a freeper?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, what makes you think that Democrats as soon as they get into office, they're going to like willy-nilly take everybody's guns away? That didn't happen under Clinton. We had 8 years to do it, and we didn't do it. So.
But he made a good start. You know, every time there was a gun tragedy, Bill Clinton was right there. He propped up the phony Million Mom March in 2000. The Democratic Party put their full weight behind that, and they got a backlash from it, and, you know, it helped contribute to Al Gore's...
Right, well, I mean, it's the kinds of gun control laws that are out are, like, not wanting, assault weapons. I mean, what do you need assault weapons? What do you need AKs? And these kinds of guns have nothing to do with hunting.
But, you know, what you call assault weapons are actually defined as semi-automatics.
Semi-automatics.
Yes, semi-automatics.
Hello?
I don't think he did. Hello, do we still have looks like we've got Todd on the air now. Terry, are you still there? Christian, are you still there? Terry and Christian, are either of you there? Todd, are you there? Okay, well, that is a damn shame. Maybe we can manage to put that together again someday. But in the meantime, we're going to go to some music. This is WFMU Webcast. I'm the Cosmic Cowboy. And please stay tuned. Sorry. I'm getting confused here in the studio, but we did hear, I believe we heard a couple things from, we heard As the Backs, I think, second. But more importantly, we heard The Eyes of Texas Are Upon You, and before that we heard Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. And it looks like we've got someone on the line now, so, okay, we're just going to go right to the phones. Hi, you're on WFMU on the protest webcast.
Yeah, hey. Is this the cowboy?
It is. Is this Charlie? Oh man, even on your cell phone. It's great to hear from you. So you're out and about. I hear some sound.
Yeah, and this is like on the fringe, actually.
Oh, well, that's the best place to be.
Yeah, when we were in the thick of it, it was really deafening. It was great. A lot of screaming. We just turned off. We marched up 7th Avenue and made a right on 34th Street. And now we're on 34th Street.
So
it's a little quieter here.
Cool.
It was pretty rowdy outside Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's great. That's good to hear. I mean, even on a day when the delegates are not there. So are you thinking of going up to Central Park?
You know, we're thinking of following the parade where it goes.
Oh, okay. Oh, it'll then go south on 5th Avenue and Broadway and finish up at Union Square. Oh yeah, no, there is no rally at this point. There's just the march going to Union Square. Yeah, and then people are encouraged to disperse so that the parade, you know, the march, just so that the march can continue to happen, because it sounds like people are still starting off. I mean, I don't know if that's. I mean, that I may be exaggerating, but as recently as a half an hour ago, people were still starting out, I think. So.
That's amazing. There's been an amazing turnout here.
That's really great. It's nice to hear. It sounds like it's pretty, like I was right to encourage everyone to come down with their little kids and their grandparents. It sounds like a safe, it doesn't sound like there's anarchists ruining everything for the mainstream folks. Oh, right on. No. Little did they know.
Four more years.
That's the billionaires for Bush guarantee four more wars in four more years if you vote for Bush.
Money for jobs and education, not for war and occupation.
Ah, yes.
I'm just reading as people walk by.
That's cool. I saw a really great shirt the other day. Actually, it was at the ride, and the guy wound up being in jail as well. And it said, "God." It said, "God hates universal health care." Which I really, it's a little weirdo rationale, but for some reason it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, I like it when people like just turn the logic of the government or how it actually works out and spell it out like that.
Yeah, I mean, because that really is how it works out. I haven't yet gotten dug into my, to the rapture stuff and you know, eternity in heaven records, but they're coming, and I want to talk about at some point. I want to talk about how the Bush administration is guided in its policies by the belief in the afterlife, and how they just really don't seem to give a damn about what goes on here because of that.
You know, we passed Macy's a few minutes ago, and there were a couple of protesters in front of Macy's with signs that had like quotes from the Bible, and one of them was something about something like included Bush in it, and then gave a scriptural reference.
Wow!
And,
you
know, we said, Bush isn't in the Bible, is he?
That's pretty intense. I just played Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition.
Amen.
And we just we had a little bit of a attempted debate between Terry T and this gentleman Christian who was a supporter of gun rights.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the phones kind of went kablooey as that was happening.
Yeah.
But it was really great for a minute, or two even, or three.
Yeah. Terry just told me the only bush that's in the Bible is the burning bush.
Ah, yes. Indeed.
Somebody here has a sign that says, if you can read this, you're not George Bush.
That's nice.
Do you have anything you want to say? Good.
Yep.
Well,
does she want to say hi at least?
Huh?
Does she want to say hi and fuck George Bush?
Say hi to the people.
Hi to the people. All the people are probably here, right? Have you gotten calls on cell phones?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
it's an odd thing because people can't really listen because it's just webcast. So people who are out aren't listening. But we've gotten a lot of calls from different places. It's been fun.
Along the way.
Yeah.
And so did I hear you say that there's some people just starting down over 14th Street?
I was exaggerating. I think but as recently as maybe a half an hour ago, people were still starting out. So really.
Really amazing.
It really is amazing. It's really. It seems like it's working really, really well.
Invited his friend to come play here.
It seems, absolutely, and, whatever. The mayor, man, I've been willing to cut him some slack for years, but lately he's been pissing me off really, really bad.
I think that I thought they should have taken a little vote, don't you think? They should have asked us?
Yeah, that would have been nice.
If we would like to maybe had this or not, it looks to me like they didn't take a vote.
That sounds like a great idea, a referendum.
RNC
referendum.
How do you feel about having George Bush here and, come here and do his little thing?
And doing his thing. I mean, he's also doing it in the shadow of of what was the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely, it's blatant. Tomorrow night, they're going to be, Giuliani's going to be there, and he's going to be pointing to family members of the deceased in the audience. And he's going to have family members, there are going to be family members speaking there.
Wow. Some of them slip in that want to say not in our name.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that'd be the best.
That would be the best.
Of course, they probably got all kinds of, they probably have got those homes wired to make sure nobody's doing anything like that. I'm sure
they've inspected the genetic makeup of the brains of the people who will be speaking.
They have them wired so that if they feel any, their pulse is starting to race, they're getting excited, they're going to do something, they'll shut them off immediately. Anything honest.
Absolutely.
Some sort of honest meter will go off. But anyway, well, it's been good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Thanks.
Well, it's been very peaceful here, but the only clash I've witnessed today was a culture clash between protesters and people shopping at Macy's on 34th Street.
Ah, wow. I played Shop in the Name of War by the Missile Dick Chicks earlier. And I believe that they're going to be at the Breakfast at Tiffany's event that's happening during the convention one day, which I think is a Laura Bush thing, but my information is weak.
Sounds good.
I think I'm going to move on. I've got another caller on the line. And thanks very much for checking in. That's really great. And hi to Terry. It was great talking to her. And have a good time.
Hey, you too.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Hello, you're on the webcast at WFMU.
Hello, how are you? Calling in from 7th Avenue and 26th Street.
Fantastic.
People as far as the eye can see, and everybody's having a good time enjoying their right to demonstrate.
That's really great. It seems like the march is really, really positive from what I've been hearing, and that's really great.
Everybody's attitude is positive, and people are just having a good time. It's a beautiful day out there, and I think there's just a lot of pent-up emotion, and people are finally building up to the point where things are going to start to change in this country.
We can hope so. That's what I've been talking about today. Trying to keep things positive, but definitely positive, but with an urgency enough to actually get some things changed, just like you were saying.
Great. Well, it's hard to tell from being inside the parade what's going on. What have you heard there? How many people are out here?
I don't have any sort of
official numbers.
Yeah, official numbers. I've just been talking to people and staggering through this show, playing some music and taking some calls. BAI is surely the place to go for that. But who knows? But I've heard that people are trickling up to Central Park, but that earlier there were few, if any, people there protesting, and that the parade, incredibly, I mean, as you said, you're at 26th Street, so that means you didn't even start out that long ago, right?
No, I've been here since the beginning. It's just that there's too much people, and we're walking at a leisurely pace, and it's bottled up.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's really great. That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to sound idiotic to say that it was great that it was bottled up, but in fact, it's great that there are that many people there, and if everyone's in good spirits, then that's fantastic.
Yep. Okay, well, thank you for having the show, and have a good afternoon, too.
Thank you very much for taking the time to call.
Bye.
Have a good day. Okay. So we've run out of calls for the moment, and we've run out of records. So give me just a second, and we'll listen to something. Oh, nope, we've got another call. Let's just put this person on the air.
Would you like to go live on the radio? You'd like to go live on the radio and talk to someone about Haiti? Okay.
Todd?
Yes.
Oh, hey, I'm here, and you're on the air, so just so you know.
Okay, we've got a Haitian woman here who wants a U.S. Marine terrorist out of Haiti and out of Iraq.
Okay.
Would you like to talk to her?
Oh, please. Oh, please.
Okay, hold on. Excuse me, ma'am, would you like to talk live on the radio? Would you like to talk live on the radio?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you're live. Go ahead now.
Oh, okay. My name is Gensley Etienne. I represent the organization of Lava Labs, and we're here to support this demonstration that is taking place. There's over a million people walking by, and we all want to take Bush out because 4 more years of Bush and the world will pretty much be over. So we're also here to support President Aristide. We want President Aristide to go back to Haiti. He was kidnapped by George Bush, and that's why we're all here today, because we all want to vote Bush out. Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Oh, well, I had quite a spirited woman.
Oh,
but,
wow. I mean, that gentleman was great. What he said was extremely lucid, and thanks for putting him on. I mean, and thank him, please, for taking the time to do that.
Sure. So it's pretty funny. Like, I thought the march was almost ending because it was getting pretty sparse for a while, Now it turns out, I guess, there was just like a lull, and I'm getting some really spirited groups coming up again. So
fantastic.
I'm back on 34th Street trying to stay in the shade because it's brutally hot in the sun. A lot of people are, you know, taking breaks in the shade because it's,
cool.
Warm and humid.
I just heard from Charlie Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, and he was on 34th Street as well, so keep your eye out. And I also just heard from a gentleman who was at 7th Avenue and 26th, and it sounded like the street was just solid in both directions at 26th Street. So I mean, I think it's a little, he's made it sound like it was a little bottled up there, but I mean, I think there are people who have been just starting out recently still.
There's this one group that they look like one of the, you know, the communist associated groups like the Workers' World or something. And they were the most fascist group I'd seen. They wouldn't let anybody within their group, whenever somebody would try to enter into the crowd, they had like these marshals with like red armbands and linked arms around the edge so people couldn't pass in. And they were like massed across the street, and then they would stop and do these like, you know, really hackneyed like commie chants. And they would essentially stop the whole march, and people behind them didn't know what was happening, so people were crashing in, having to go up on the sidewalk. I think it was like, I wish I knew the organization's name, but they were definitely like the most fascist organization I've seen in the parade today.
That's actually kind of funny, because I got a call from a gentleman from Revolution Books who was plugging the hell out of his store, and it would have been really great to be able to put the two of you on together.
Right.
But so be it.
The guns guy was pretty brave standing out there. You know, he's catching a lot of abuse, you know, but
wow, you know,
you can see when he was talking on the phone, his hand was shaking.
Wow.
Well,
that actually is particularly scary.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in any, that's terrifying. But in fact, you know, when you put him on, I've been, you know, in billionaires, I've been in irony land already this, you know, straight through this morning. So I was kind of taken aback at his seriousness. And I didn't know, I was like trying to go with it for a minute. And I was like, but then I started arguing with him because he was obviously wrong.
Well, he said to thank you because you were very fair. So.
Oh, well, there you go. But I mean, and then in fact, while he was still on, Terry T called in saying that she wanted to debate him. And they began to, and the phones went kablooey somewhere in the middle. So, but
I heard him say something about Terry, but I asked him I could call back, and he was like, oh, no, that was enough.
Oh, okay. Well, but it was a great call. It was a really great call. I appreciate it.
Cool. So,
oh, and that's a good, the bed is, the drum is a good bed.
So, yeah, I'm going to check out and see if I find anybody else that would like to speak, okay?
Cool, that sounds fantastic. Thanks a lot for doing it.
Okay, see you later, man.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, that was our crack reporter, Todd, on 34th Street, with a representative of Lavalas from Haiti, talking about the fact that the Bush administration got tired of President Aristide and removed him from Haiti. And I don't know. I mean, I actually, like, he said his piece and got off the phone, and I really was hoping to talk to him some more, but that was, he had done his thing. Because honestly, I find most of the coverage of Haiti, I mean, I don't know. I mostly read The Times, and a lot of coverage in The Times is sort of patronizing, but there's something about Haiti that invites writers to be particularly patronizing. And it's nice to hear from someone from Haiti and, you know, who would take the time to protest the Bush administration's policies. Looks like we're out of calls at this point, so I'm going to go back to some recorded something. And we're going to hear a little bit of nothing for a second, and then we'll hear some music. So please stay tuned, and thanks very much for listening.
Where are you calling from?
Looks like we've got a caller, so we're going to go back to the phone lines for a second. And okay, so here we go. We're going live to the phone lines. Hi there. You're live.
Hello.
Hello. You're live on the WFMU web stream.
I'm live on the FMU web stream. Great.
What's your name?
I'm standing. My name's Chris.
Chris?
I'm standing right in front of Madison Square Garden right now, and I'm afraid you just missed. Everyone was just singing Sha Na Na.
Oh, that would have been nice. I did miss.
But now there's drums near me, and there's a big fire. I don't know what it is.
Fire?
Fire.
F-I-R-E?
F-I-R-E.
Wow. I hope it's a bonfire. I mean, it sounds like it would be a bonfire with a drum circle around it, because that's what it sounds like. But in fact, the ambient noise that you've got is really, really great.
Hang on. I'll hold up the phone, see if I can get people to sing.
Okay.
Hey, you're on the radio! Nobody sang for that. Hold on, let me see if I can do a Sha Na Na again. Oh, I can't hear you. I don't even know if I'm still on the air.
Oh, no, you definitely are on the air.
I can't hear anything, so I'm just going to keep talking.
Oh, you are on the air.
I'll just hold the phone up.
Okay.
Hey, you guys still there?
Yes, still here.
Yep, you're still there. Can you hear me? It sounds really great. Hey, sounds really great. Excuse me?
Well, here's a good sign. Karl Rove eats babies.
Oh, absolutely. Karl Rove eats babies. That's a fact.
Oh, I'm still here. Okay, good. Yep. I didn't know if I had...
No,
your
cell phone is great, and that music sounded fantastic.
Cool.
So thanks. Nice sounds of protest.
Oh well, it was good to call in.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling. Have a good day. Okay. So I think we're gonna go to something from the Oh Lucky Man soundtrack. Let's see this. I think. Queued up.
Poor people are poor people, and they don't understand. A man's got to make whatever he wants and take it with his own hand. Poor people stay poor people, and they never get to see. Someone's got to win in the human race. If it isn't you, then it has to be me. So smile while you're making it, laugh while you're taking it. Even though you're faking it, nobody's gonna know. Nobody's gonna know. No use mumbling, it's no use grumbling. Life just isn't fair. There's no easy days, there's no easy ways. Just get out there and do it. And I'll sing your song. Laugh while you're getting on. Smile and you string along. Nobody's gonna know. Nobody's gonna know. Nobody's gonna know. And nobody's gonna know. Of mud,
beautiful rivers and rivers of blood. Aeroplanes flying, bombs coming down, millions of cooties crawling around. Pieces of shrapnel, pieces of shell, many a cross where somebody fell. Fighting and fighting, a horrible war, and God only knows what you're fighting it for. Then came November, that armistice day, out of a trench into a cafe. Patty, A.B., Jimmy, and Jack over their bottles of wine and cognac, telling their love tales to Jean and Georgette, little French girls they had to forget. Then came the journey over the phone, but all that went over didn't come home.
Okay, that was My Dream of the Big Parade by Jimmy McHugh and Al Dubin. And in fact, we're going to go back to the phones live here now on WFMU's webcast. Hello, you're on the webcast on WFMU.
Hi, this is Todd again.
Great.
Right here with Peter Camejo. He's the vice presidential candidate with Ralph Nader.
Fantastic.
And he'd like to speak to you right now, okay?
Great.
Okay, you're on the air, FMU.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name's Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Welcome to the show. We're just trying to report a little bit on what's going on in the streets in the city today, and I'm really glad to hear from you.
Okay, you want me to start?
Please.
Well, this is a one fantastic demonstration. Everybody here is against the war in Iraq, for ending the occupation, against the Patriot Act. And I've looked up and down this whole demonstration. You never see a sign for Kerry. The tragedy in America is that the majority of people who will vote for Kerry oppose him, oppose his pro-war and pro-Patriot Act policy. And we're in a trap. The people feel they're like political prisoners. They have no choice. There's no runoff. There's no proportional representation. We don't have free elections. The voice of Nader is to talk pro-peace against the Patriot Act and to say we need to break with the Democrats and Republicans before we'll ever be able to change this.
That's 100% true. I'm really grateful.
It's always been true, and everything Bush has done has been possible only because the Democrats have backed him. Without the Democratic Party support, Bush is not possible. Kerry is the number one campaigner for Bush because what he does is accept Bush's premises, which then strengthen Bush's position. And the tragedy is that the people who oppose war and oppose Bush find themselves trapped, as I've said. And, you know, the fact is that as long as we accept the rule of these two parties, this totalitarian two-party system, we're going to continue to have people like Bush as president and wars like Iraq. We're going to have to break with them, and maybe that's going to be the big lesson of 2004 if Kerry gets elected and everyone realizes he's not Bush light, he's Bush smart.
Okay. I'm sighing.
Hello? Okay,
hello?
I think I
love you. Oh, no, I'm here.
Can't... Well, thank you very much.
Oh, Todd, can you hear me? Hello. Hey, Todd, what happened? I don't know. It sounds like, I don't know how they could have lost me without me losing them.
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. He's, Peter Camejo thought we lost the feed, and,
I don't think he actually did lose me. I think that or if he did, I don't know how he could have, because I heard you the whole time. And I didn't nothing changed in the studio. But that was really great. And
I didn't realize he'd be such a dynamic speaker.
Please thank him. I really actually wanted to reply because I let out an enormous sigh when he was done speaking, and I was about to admit that I in fact am one of those trapped voters who intends to vote for Kerry.
Right.
And in the last few months, I mean, every day I've thought how depressing it is that I am going to vote for Kerry because I am so strongly against the Bush administration. And one morning, like a month ago, I woke up to something of an epiphany, and I was saying, like, and I thought, I'm not going to vote for Kerry! And I was so happy. I was like, it doesn't matter, you know. And I wasn't even sure that I would vote green, necessarily, but I was so happy that to think that I didn't have to vote for Kerry. And then the next day, I woke up back in the sad reality of America today and my head, and ever since then I've been resigned to the fact that I'm going to vote for Kerry, and that's just the way.
I remember when he chose John Edwards, that smarmy, you know, thumbs up guy. You were like, that's it. I can't fucking vote for Kerry. I can't do it. I mean, maybe he goes over big. Edwards goes over big down south, but
I don't know. He's pretty plastic. Schmarminess of a Southern preacher or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought you were no compromise.
Yeah. Oh well. I mean, I don't know what to say. I need like a sigh loop that I could talk over.
Yeah. It's like if Bush gets elected again, he'll probably be in jail again. So it's one way to look at things.
I might be in jail even if Kerry gets elected, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Peter Camejo is exactly right. I mean, I'm not sure that he convinced me, but I'm sure he's right. should I cut you loose again?
Yeah, sure. I'm walking the reverse direction of the march, and I'll see who else I can find to speak on the air.
Okay, that's fantastic. And you know, whatever, do whatever's good for you. And I appreciate your help a lot.
Okay, you know, I was going to write up probably in about an hour. I'm going to write up to Central Park and see what's going on up there.
That sounds great. I look forward to it.
Okay, great.
Did I tell you about the report we got earlier at all?
No. What was that?
Oh, because Rudy called in from Central Park, and it was early. It was about one. It may have been. Yeah, it was around one, I suppose. And he said that there were two protesters sitting in the middle of the green lawn, the great lawn, with their signs. And he talked a little bit about the softball games are on, just so you know. You were wondering about that, whether they would be canceled. They are, in fact, on. And so we got a report, but I haven't heard anything about the park since then, and I'm sure it's gotten much more crowded. So
there are a lot of people at the march, you know, asking people to go up after they get to Union Square.
Right.
I'll go up a little later and see what's going on.
Sounds great. That's exciting. I look forward to it.
Okay.
Cool. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Crack reporter Todd N. out in the streets of New York on 34th Street at the moment. And let's see. It's one of those moments. Oh, actually, you know, I actually have something not exactly cute, but pretty close. Let's hear some throbbing gristle. Oh, this is weapons testing.
We're throbbing gristle and... unfortunately, the Derby paper just puts TG, but we hope you all know who it was. Thanks.
The 105mm tank gun fired from an M60 main battle tank. The M40 A1 106mm recoilless rifle. The 155mm self-propelled howitzer. The armored personnel carrier flamethrower, M-132. The 7.62mm machine gun. The caliber 50 machine gun. The 40mm grenade launcher. The SS-11 anti-tank guided missile weapon subsystem fired from the UH-1B utility helicopter. Thank you.
Thank you. if you could leave Cap.
And then?
You're free white and over 21, and you can do whatever you want.
High alert and extra security at chemical plants in the Garden State.
New Jersey is in the zone of danger.
A new security issue on the ground.
Chemical and pharmaceutical plants in New Jersey are on heightened alert as possible terrorist threats.
If an incendiary device is detonated at a chemical plant or a pharmaceutical plant, it can release chemicals or other substances in the air or in the water that could be quite harmful and maybe even deadly to surrounding communities.
State Attorney General Peter Harvey says extra security is in place, but every one of us can help.
I would urge the average citizen to be vigilant
and report anything suspicious to police.
Yeah, sure enough. Report anything suspicious to police. That was just a little bit of paranoia from WINS about terrorists bombing chemical plants in New Jersey. Oh.
New Jersey is in the zone of danger.
You gotta love that, right? We're all in the zone of danger. We're in danger of having our liberties entirely erased by the government that's in power at the moment. It's really, really remarkable. In fact, let's see, I've got the schedule out open of the WFMU webcasts that are going to be happening. That, in fact, is what you're listening to right now. I'm the Cosmic Cowboy. Also Jason today. Special day. Celebrating and investigating. But investigating is probably way too serious a word for what we're doing. We're just kind of taking a look at the protests that are happening in the city. Got a crack reporter, Todd M., out there on the street putting the phone in people's hands, in the right people's hands, as far as I'm concerned. A lot of great folks on the phone so far. And taking some calls from listeners and a few DJs. And that's what's happening until 7 o'clock tonight. And after that, we're going to have Rob Weisberg's going to be up with a special episode of Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise. That's going to be live on WFMU 91.1 and on the stream. Then from 9 to, that's from 7 to 9 tonight. From 9 to 10, we have Chimpy, which is a big city orchestra collage that was featured on FMU's Remixology program two summers ago. Is that, or last summer? I don't know. It was a while ago, but it's really, really great. I heard it the first time around. It's really, really fun. If you like goofball George Bush cut-ups, man, definitely stay tuned to this web stream from 9 to 10 tonight, because that's when it's Rob's show is on 91.1 also, but by 9 we're back to just the web stream. Then from 10 to 12 tonight, Bethany's going to be on, and she's going to be doing a she's doing a special edition of the Stochastic Hit Parade. That's going to be live on 91.1 as well as on the stream, on the web stream. All the web streams, of course. Bethany's show tonight. Sorry, I'm clunking the screen around behind the mic stand. But in any case, Bethany's going to be playing a whole bunch of recordings that she's been making this week, and including a recording of part of the ring-out ceremony that happened at the World Trade Center last night, which I would have announced on my show on Friday night, and I would have probably attended last night had I not been in jail. But there you go. Got out in time to be here, and I'm sure, I mean, I started things off with a really, really long and rambling story of my arrest at the Critical Mass ride on Friday night. And I'll probably do it again before the end, but and try and focus on different things. But for the moment, we'll leave it at that. Couldn't go to the ring out ceremony observance because I was in jail. But Bethany was there, and she recorded some of it or all of it. And she's going to be playing that as well as sounds that she recorded today. So That's 10 to midnight tonight, 91.1, and on the stream. That should be really, really fun. And then the inauguration of the Flaming Robot of Love on WFMU. And in fact, starting midnight tonight till 9 in the morning, there's going to be a... automated, but not really random. I mean, it. I think it's. The website suggests that it's random, but I think it's not quite random. It's kind of a tweaked version of random. And wow, so many folks on staff have contributed recordings that have gone into the MP3 library that we're going to be using for this program. That it winds up being extremely representative of FMU and like really fun stuff. So that's midnight tonight till 9 in the morning on this web stream. Why am I not saying that? Oh, there we go. Okay. 9 to noon tomorrow, Scott Williams, live radio. You know, he's a master cutter-up himself, and I'm sure he's going to be having a blast. I mean, he's been extremely diligent about gathering loops, bytes, and all sorts of political type of audio. So you want to tune in tomorrow morning to this web-only cast, 9 to noon, noon to 1, Conservative Corner tomorrow, and for those of you who are message board aficionados, which there very well may be some of you out there, seeing as this is a web-only broadcast, the guest on the Conservative Corner tomorrow is going to be WFMU message boarder Radman, and he's going to speak on the issues, and he's going to play music by real American bands, and I mean... when he says real American bands, he means really, really American. When Ken told me that, it just seemed like possibly the coup of the entire webcasting session, this entire 5 days. The real coup as a guest is probably Radman, who's going to be on noon to one tomorrow with Ken. After that, we're going to be airing a historic WFMU archive, and that's going to be a never-before-aired tape of WFMU's coverage of the 1968 Democratic Convention with Vince Gelsa and the Cocaine Karma team, Dennis Frawley and Bob Rudnick. So you want to tune in tomorrow, 1 to 3, for the webcast of that. Is there going to be... I think at one time that there was that was going to be played more than once, but I think that there's so incredibly much more material been gathered than we have time to play that that's going to be the only time that we're going to be playing that. I don't know. I'll break off there Monday afternoon. We've got a call coming in from the protest, and we're going to go to that. So here we go. Hi there. You're on the WFMU webcast?
Hi, this is Todd. I've got Mercy here from the Raging Grannies, and okay. She has a song that she'd like to sing.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Okay, great. So here's Mercy.
Okay, thanks.
Hi there. We're the Raging Grannies. We started in the 1900s in Canada, now with chapters all over the world. The Raging Grannies and their daughters promote global peace, justice, and social and economic equality by raising consciousness through song parodies and satires like this.
We're raging grannies singing our songs, do-da, do-da. We're raging grannies singing our songs all the do-da day. Gonna rage and roar, gonna stop all war. We're raging grannies singing our songs all the do-da day. We're raging grannies singing our songs, do-da, do-da. We're raging grannies singing our songs all the do-da day. Gonna roar all night, gonna rage all day. Together we'll build a better world. Let's make a start today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How was that?
That sounded really fantastic, and that was really great. Please thank them for me. Yeah, that sounded just great.
Yeah, they seemed like they had the average age of about 70. It was like two women. Mercy seemed about that.
Wow, they've hung on to their voices really nicely.
Yeah,
I mean, even on cell phone, that came across sounding really great.
Yeah, of course, I embarrassed myself at first. I thought it was Tuli Kupperberg was with them, and I introduced myself and said that you were a big Fugs fan, and he said he would get on the radio. And it turned out he was someone named Ken who used to work for BAI.
Oh,
and
wow.
I knew him from them. They have very similar looks, you know, but that's why he looks familiar to me. But I thought you were going to get to speak to Thule, but...
Well, that would have been fun, but...
You got the Raging Grannies instead, you know.
Well,
he may yet be in the March here.
Well, with any luck. And that was really great.
So there was the first police confrontation just a short while ago.
Okay.
Right in the corner of by Macy's on 34th and 6th, a huge plume of smoke came out of the crowd. I think it was probably somebody lit off a smoke bomb. But the cops freaked, charged the crowd, and cut the march in half, and threw everybody to the side, you know, until they could kind of hold on. And people started chants of "Let them march" and similar confrontational things.
Wow!
No one ever got. It was never clear what had happened. I think just somebody lit off like one of those like smoke bombs.
Apparently, some kind of protester, mechanical protester thing was set on wooden thing was set on fire on 7th Avenue in front of 34th in front of the garden, more or less. The fire department came to put it out.
It's really funny. There are all these reporters. Cause I'm going back against the crowd.
I'm listening to the whistler.
Yeah. I'm going back against the crowd. It's like all these reporters keep telling me, "Have you been to the back? Have you seen the coffins? Where are the coffins?" I've been asked by like at least 5 people. Apparently, there's some protests where they're carrying like 1,000 coffins.
I think that may be Tuesday, but I could be wrong too. Like maybe there's an additional funeral march that doesn't include coffins on Tuesday. I know there's a funeral march on Tuesday.
But that must be the primo photo op because like they're freaking
out.
They haven't seen the coffins yet. You know?
That's great.
Okay.
Thanks very much for calling.
All right. See you
Talk to you
bye.
In a little while. Bye bye. Okay, another report from Todd, and including a song from the Raging Grannies. It's really great. I've been happy to quip a lot lately that you can't trust anyone under 30, which just seems... yeah, I know. Got OCDJ here screaming the phones for me, and he says, "Fuck you." Which, yeah, you know, honestly, I mean, but in fact, you are one of the few people that I think of when I say that. You're one of the few exceptions I can think of. So I mean, it's an offhand compliment, but yeah, it's a shame that OCDJ is such a rare under 30 person. I'm going to go back to the schedule. Let's see if no one calls in a minute or two, we'll go back to some music. But I never mentioned that we heard. Bunch of Throbbing Gristle. That wasn't that long ago. That was much more recent than most of my back announcing that I do on this station. So, yeah, there was a long, great kind of swampy electronic mix, and that was all Throbbing Gristle from 1979 live recording. And, in fact, the beginning of it was, and the majority of it was called Weapons Testing. Okay, so we got to the 1 to 3 tomorrow afternoon, 1968 Democratic National Convention.